This is CliffCentral.com.
In the morning, when I wake, I need specific radio waves before I shit, shower, and shave.
Everybody, everyone is up, and I think people who are not at work yet suck. Now, I was thinking about those people who'll only start work, well, let me put it this way. If you aren't starting work next Monday, then you really have to question how valuable you are to society.
Are you attacking children straight away here?
Well, no, Ben, because I think the children go back to school on, what, the 17th?
The children.
And that's not their fault. They didn't choose that.
Yo, that's more than a month of a holiday.
It shows the drain in the economy there, either.
But you know children are, I mean, like, there's this huge, it's almost half the population in South Africa who don't work. Other people pay their bills. Mm. They eat for free. They get free clothing. A lot of them have to be paid for through school fees and all the rest of it. And they don't add a single cent to the economy, these children.
I mean, not
they don't pay any taxes.
Well, not until a point where they are forced to start adulting.
And you realize they come into the country illegally too? I mean, they certainly don't apply for citizenship. They're just born into the country illegally. These children, I'm telling you. If we just stopped them, we would have a very, very rich, wealthy population. We'd have more to share.
Were you listening to the Renegade Report podcast? Is that why you did come out guns blazing?
I did listen to that. Did you hear it?
No, not yet.
You know, it was such a fascinating discussion. I mean, Ramon and Jonathan can be annoying. I say that I like them, but they can be really annoying. They have gone above and beyond to find interesting things to talk about. And this is something I'd never thought of before. I had an intuition about how I felt. I'm certainly not like David Benatar, who says that all humans should just stop existing. Mm-hmm. That actually to not exist is a much better condition than to exist. I don't agree, because I love being alive and I want to live forever. But I'm also not on Jordan Peterson's side, where we're some kind of, you know, divine creature with a purpose. I think a lot of people are just banged into existence by their parents. And no, really. I don't want to start on a negative note, because yes, for some people they perceive that as negative. I don't mean it negatively. I just think a lot of people, there's no thought put into it why you exist. Mm. Some people just have to sit there, take a moment, take a big deep breath, and realize, like, you were actually just made because your parents were horny and drunk. Maybe that's it. A lot of people are like, what is the purpose of my life? Mm-hmm. Like, why am I here? What am I going to do to change the world? Nah. Your parents just made you on a night of drunk horniness. And that's your thing. You were created biologically. That's all. But that's not to say that you don't have a purpose. You can discover that purpose through your life. You know, I'm certainly not saying that just because your parents were irresponsible idiots that you can't make a difference and make the world better.
Discovering purpose through your life. That's very nice, Gareth.
Oh, don't you think so, Ben?
Like, whoa, wait a minute, Sia.
Are you being sarcastic?
I'm sorry, Sia. Is this an Oprah, dare I say, an Oprah moment?
I'm running with it, though.
You can discover your purpose.
Do you guys want to hold hands?
You're a sounding Oprah-esque.
Oh, okay, all right. Oprah, first of all, Mabali doesn't believe I'm saying this. Sia is dumbstruck, and Ben, I think, might be being sarcastic or not.
No, I just agreed with you.
Oh.
I just say, let's just share in this moment.
Well, it's fine. Look, your purpose might be, and you know, let me tell you something. These guys, I have a lot of respect for these people. I see them every morning on the roads. You know those people who haul around those little trolleys with the wheels with the rubbish on them?
Oh, yeah. So one this now, morning, and he was having the
best of
time. Mobile
recyclers.
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you about these guys, because a lot of people think that they're a problem and that they're... I heard some person at a dinner party once saying, oh, they're always in the road and they're going to hit your car. And I'm like, you know how hard those people work. And can you imagine how much more filthy and disgusting this country would be than it already is if they weren't out there recycling cardboard and plastic and all that kind of thing. First of all, be grateful that there are people who are finding meaningful, commoditized value at the bottom end of the economy, because those people are doing more than some of the people in the middle. First of all. Second of all, the fact that they're prepared to wake up at God knows what time and start doing what is essentially one of the most ugly things in the world, the digging through the trash to find stuff that they can recycle, that they can make valuable. I have oodles of respect for those people. Give me 10 of them before you give me one CEO, because I can guarantee you they're making the environment a whole lot better than one CEO. So I have the world of respect. You talk about purpose. Purpose doesn't always have to be inventing nanobots.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be some cliched whiskey ad where you stand and go, oh, I've made it.
Yeah, it could be just that you are the person who keeps your neighborhood clean. It could be that you are the person who enables another person. Let's say you look after someone's kids so that they can go to work. You know those gogos in the township who like look after 20 other people's children?
Mm-hmm.
Those women are making a huge difference. They have massive purpose. Don't for a minute think that they're less important than the president of the country. In fact, I would say they're more important, because those little lives of those 20 or 30 or 40 kids that they deal with every day are going to be made better by the fact that there is some adult human who cares about them, who spends time with them. That's purpose. So it doesn't matter how you were made or where you come from, whether or not your parents loved you, or whether or not you have the best education or lots of money or any of that stuff. Your purpose might be to do a tiny little thing so well that it makes a difference in your little area, and that might be more than enough. That's all. So if that's Oprah, yeah, I'll take it. I'll earn it.
No, it's not Oprah, Gareth. It's just good thought. Now, another thing about those guys on those little trailer things, because those wheels are terrible. I mean,
they're trolley wheels, right?
Trolley wheels. Yeah. It's just that it's a great example of just getting on with the shit. Like, I know they all want to be astronauts and pilots and gynecologists or whatever people want to be in life, but those guys are just getting on with shit every single day.
Mm.
Like, they're up early. They're up before we are.
And nobody gave them a job.
No.
No one came up to them and said, hey, listen, I need to employ you to do this. They wake up in the morning like, I've got to make this work, man.
Mm. And they're not waiting around having a sob story for you, coughing on you at supermarkets, all that kind of stuff. They're just getting on with stuff.
What experiences do you have?
Yeah, it's a dirty place out there. It sounds like you have a tough life.
Ben Shame. Almost got struck by lightning yesterday. Tell them.
And nearly got struck by a cough.
Yeah, so when it comes to the afternoon, I like to take a break from work and clear my head a bit by going for a little run. That's what I've been doing for a while. And I combine that with grocery shopping. So I take a backpack and I've got this great supermarket really close. And then as I was walking back, heavily laden with groceries, it seemed like there was like 5 bolts of lightning a second just hanging around. It was like being in an Easter End disco. It was amazing.
Well, a friend of mine who's a...
just bolts and bolts everywhere.
A friend of mine who's a pilot sent us these pictures of...
Wow, that must have been scary yesterday.
Yeah, well, it wasn't photographs. It was kind of, you know those charts that they use to show the weather patterns, low pressure systems and all the rest of it?
Yep.
The more colorful they are, the more dangerous it is.
Oh, goodness.
And around the whole of Johannesburg and Pretoria, it was like the circle of doom.
Yeah. I mean, if there was ever a time to be struck by lightning, it probably was yesterday. So sure. It was quite an experience, actually. Yeah, but fat lightning.
Talking about the storm, yeah. I had a flood at home.
Oh, no.
The water came in and went like all over my carpet. Oh, no, it was bad. It's still bad. I've got to go home this afternoon and try and... I'm going to dry it with a hairdryer. So anyway, I know for sure I won't. Otherwise, the carpet will stink and you can imagine what's going on.
Oh, yeah, especially that river that comes by your house.
Well, it's not the river. It was rain.
Oh, the river had to rise in order to...
The river's flooding. But I've got to now go and dry this by hand, because otherwise it's going to be a problem. Yeah, but I put down... I must have gone through like 10, 12 towels. And then squeezing them out and then doing it again. You should have seen me. It was the most ridiculous.
This is not the best week for you, domestic-wise.
Did you have to use Carl as well?
Yeah.
I used Carl to like squish the water out.
You've
and then
had
I'd
to
ring
do
him
washing.
Well.
You've had to clean dishes. You now have to scrub.
Like those guys on the trolleys, you got to get stuck in, right?
So wait.
No one else is going
to
do it.
Are you not able to remove this carpet?
No, it's a...
It's fixed into the...
Yeah, what do they call it?
Okay. Damn.
Fitted
carpet, yeah. So it's in the room.
Yeah.
So now I have to... Ugh. Anyway, look, I mean, some people have real problems. The point is that the storm was epic. I watched big trees blow like they were going to crack. And I'm sure plenty of trees did crack. There was massive damage across Johannesburg and Pretoria last night.
If you want to be a tree, don't be a tree in Johannesburg. Your chances, you've got to be strong. You've got to be fit in this place.
If you want to be a tree.
There's hail, there's winds, there's lightning.
Because we put this podcast together every morning for the trees.
Yes.
But just to get back to what you started talking about with the Renegade Report, I saw a funny tweet where some girl said, I resent my parents for not consulting me on whether I wanted to be here or not. Now, obviously, she meant it as a joke. But when you think about it, that's exactly what happens. One day you're born, and then boom, you've just got to survive this place. You've just got to survive.
Well, this is why David Benatar is so interesting. And he's probably the foremost thinker in this area in the world. And he's right here at UCT. We've got to get him on the show at some point, Sia, please. By the way, I did get a message yesterday from Prof. Jonathan Janssen. He's back in South Africa. He landed from San Francisco, so we'll talk to him ASAP. I also got a message from Julius Malema yesterday.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's always nice. Your phone was buzzing with the
right
people.
New Year when Julius messages me, so he says, I love this guy.
Oh, it's an annual conversation.
I really do love him. So, no, it's not annual. We talk every now and then. Please call me brother. So I go... Right, no, seriously.
No, it's hey,
you read these messages. Right? Just don't read the number.
Oh, okay. Okay, so please call me brother. Sure, which number? And then he gives the number.
Because his number's always changing.
Of course it is.
And then you said, got a wrong number, so he resends saying sorry. And then he says, Chief.
Yes.
On the Polokwane matter, I'm afraid I'm useless.
I said that to him.
Oh, sorry, this is you. My bad. Yeah. Chief, on the Polokwane matter, I'm afraid I'm useless. Don't know any white people there.
That's the kind of communication we have. And then he's like, no, no problem. He says, thank you. But he's going to come in and talk to us next week as well. So there's lots going on. There are lots of people to talk to. And we're in an interesting country where there's always something around the corner that you didn't expect. I saw the president yesterday decided he's going to launch this commission of inquiry into state capture after all, which is what Thuli Madonsela said he should do, what, 2.5, 3 years ago? Must be terrible being Busisiwe Mkhwebane, huh? Everything you've decided, everything that you've done just goes for a pile of shit.
Yeah.
And everything that you're involved in just looks like it's badly put together.
Yeah.
And then your predecessor looks like this shining angel. Everything she did was right. She was just so principled. Isn't she starting work at Stellenbosch this week?
Yes,
Thuli's back.
Yeah. Started
country.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, that woman, sure. We're lucky to live in a time where Thuli Madonsela is a real person and she's among us. I don't know if we deserve her.
Well, we don't deserve all bad things all the time, Gareth.
No, we don't. No, but I still think...
Some good would be nice.
Yeah. Well, she retweeted me yesterday, which I thought was nice because I said something... I was in a very... I have been for a little while, kind of a thoughtful, less aggressive kind of... I'm interested in finding ways for people to start talking to each other and making things better, not fighting with each other and making things worse. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I just said something about, and it's kind of how I felt for a long time, but I've often been the one who's been causing trouble rather than finding ways for people to collaborate. I said, this year I'm going to try not to have political enemies. By the way, please, every word matters when I... I'm going to try. I'm only human. Some days I'm going to have explosions and some days I'm going to be cross and some days I'm going to be less self-aware and you know how those things happen. But I'm going to try not to have political enemies, but rather to listen to people who can explain an opposing philosophy to me. Let's debate constructively, not get personal, and try to understand each other, even if one of us ends up being wrong. Isn't that the point? Like, that's exactly what's been missing from our political discourse for a while. And I'm sure many much smarter people than me have said so 100 times before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's suddenly, you know, sometimes your penny drops. You're like, I get it too. I feel like some slow idiot at the back of the queue.
And the ability to be able to do that also speaks volume of a person's intellectual ability. I mean, if you can disagree with someone without being derogatory,
growing,
abusive,
punching below the belt, yeah,
and remaining completely in control. I've always admired that.
Do you think that's intellectual ability, or do you think it's emotional control? Because the thing that trips most of us up is that we get emotional about a discussion or a person.
I've always thought it's a combination of both.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's probably that's probably about right.
It's managing both.
I had such a fascinating discussion with Vusi Tembekwayo yesterday. That guy. Good. This is, okay, you know what? I know we're starting the year and there's probably a lot on your agenda. When we play that interview out, when are we going to do it?
Tomorrow.
That?
When's Thursday?
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
I'm sorry, I lose
it. Or any time after tomorrow, 8 o'clock, when it's available on cliffcentral.com. Please do me a favor. I don't like to promote one interview over the others because I like most of them, and I like as many of them as possible to be good. This one, because Vusi Tembekwayo, this guy is, he's just self-actualized. He's at a point. He's not old. How old is he? What?
He's in his
30s. 30-something. This guy has got a lot of stuff figured out that most of us still have 10 years ahead of us to figure out, to get to. This is one of those people. I wish he had a more public role. And I don't mean to thrust stuff upon him that he doesn't want to do, because he's doing very well in business. He's got an incredible profile already. He's doing wonderful things. He's helping so many people around the country, even though that's not his business. Mm-hmm. But I wish he were the kind of person who would go into public office. Because as much as I hate government and I hate politicians, sometimes you want someone who really gets it, who cares, who understands, who has just a complete 360-degree understanding of how things could be better, how it could work more effectively. And he's one of those people. Anyway, we talked about not that, but about his journey and some of the things that he's been through. And I think he revealed one or two things that we've never discussed before. I certainly didn't know a lot of this stuff about him. There were one or two points in the interview where it got quite emotional. There were one or two points in the interview where I felt like I just had to shut up and let him talk because he was making so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen to any interview this week, maybe you've only got an hour. I don't know how busy your schedule is. If you've got an hour this week, please take that hour to listen to Vusi Tembekwayo tomorrow.
Well, I'd say our two new interviews this week are really...
both powerful.
They both have these revealing moments that we didn't see coming at all.
Ooh, I got messages from people yesterday about the Jay Something interview.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He's never spoken about his son before.
No.
Ever. In fact, he's kept his whole family. He's kept his wife, Coco, right out of the news.
Mm-hmm.
The first time he ever admitted that he was married was here on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously his friends and family knew, but outside of that, nobody else knew.
Yeah.
It was never in any tabloid. It was never in any other radio interview. It shows you how vapid so much of the media is. They don't even find out whether someone is, you know, a father.
But it's about how he...
it's just...
like, it seems so seamless, but at the same time, it seems like this CIA operation at the same time of how he kept it quiet.
Well...
It's mostly as a result of lazy journalism. Unless you're announcing it on your Instagram,
yeah.
The tabloids will never know.
They're so stupid. They see, like, they look at a picture and they see the colors and they see what's in the picture and they don't bother to look into the background at all. It's so weird. This is not hidden.
Mm.
He's dedicated his new book to his son.
Yes.
So all you have to do is open the fucking book. On page one, it's right there. Yes. So I ask him about it, and he's like,
yeah.
He opens up and starts talking about it. He's not hiding anything.
It's so interesting because now all the pennies are dropping out, and I can now speak about this. I was at drinks a few weeks ago, and actually Coco, Jay's wife, was part of our circle.
Oh, look at the people you're mixing with.
bye. No. Yeah. And as we're talking, as we were all talking, and then she referenced this Miguel person. She's like, yeah. And then Miguel, I'm like, who is Miguel? And then I glance over at her phone, and the wallpaper is this little kid. And I'm like, this kid is a swirly looking kid. Could it be that? You know?
You didn't know that was the first you knew?
I didn't. So everyone else in the circle is just going with it. So I didn't want to be the guy who obviously screams it out. I went home and I Googled, and you could not find anything up until we see the dedication on the books. I was like, oh, there is a baby after all. So yeah, Vusi and Jay, amazing interviews this week.
By the way, I don't bring people in here so they can reveal the deep dark secrets. We have conversations, and yeah, sometimes stuff spills out because they feel comfortable.
There's magic in the studio.
There is. There's a witch. She sits in the there's a witch in the ceiling.
It's the stones in the corner. Yeah.
And the witch, what she does is she gets into their heads and she goes, tell them everything. And then we reveal all.
Silly.
I know, talk about silly. I spoke to Run yesterday. He's very excited to get going on these updates, these crypto updates. So that's gonna be another exciting part of the year that starts from now.
I just find that whenever he comes in, there's different layers to what he talks about. Like, I thought he would come in and there wouldn't be a lot for him to keep going with.
Are you kidding?
But
there's a porn token. My buddy and I found out about this booty token.
But that guy's just got layers and layers. And whenever I see people shitting on cryptocurrency on social media through mostly ignorance, I always think, like, wow, they're missing a great deal. Whether it's great or not great, they're just missing so much of what it's actually about. And you listen to him yesterday, it's like, wow, that's very interesting.
Well, cryptocurrencies are just an evolutionary step towards humans taking more and more control of their own lives and having less dictated to them by authorities. That's why I love it. I keep saying to people, even if you don't, let's say you're doing this, you're involved in cryptocurrencies, maybe you invested 10 Rand, maybe you've invested everything you've got. I wouldn't advise anybody
to invest everything you've got into one thing.
If you put it all into the stock market, you'd be crazy. You put it all into property, you'd be crazy. But whatever it is, it's the fundamental idea that if I'm going to transact with Sia, there shouldn't have to be a bank or an insurance company or a government or a tax implication to any of that. It's me buying an article from Sia. It doesn't involve anyone else. It's like the old days where Sia and his village of people would encounter my village of people and we would trade stuff. And he would say, well, one of my oxen is worth 10 of your goats, so give me 20 and you can have 2. That's how it works. It doesn't need any authority. It doesn't need any bank or accountant or auditor or any of those things involved. It's just me and him trading.
Yeah.
So even if you don't believe that cryptocurrencies are exactly the way to go in terms of how we will transact with each other in future, maybe they aren't, at least acknowledge it's closer to the truth than this bullshit of having to be charged by your bank for sending money to someone else who isn't your bank. And that's just mad. It's mad that every time you use your credit card, the bank or Visa or MasterCard or whoever it is should get a piece of that action. Why?
Well, of course they are. They're giving you a service.
Yeah, but I don't think that we need to have that. If it's me and you transacting, let's say I'm standing in the room with you.
But someone set up a platform. Someone's maintaining a platform.
But do you know what the rates are? Look at what the rates are that they charge you. Look at what your bank charges you in interest if you go over on your credit card. That's the kind of stuff that you're being penalized for that you don't really need to be penalized for. They're taking advantage. It's like the cell phone networks with that. What did they call that fee? Where interconnect fee. Where you would, if I was on Cell C and you were on Vodacom and Ben was on MTN, then to speak to each other, we'd all be charged a little bit extra. If we were all on Vodacom, we wouldn't be. It's crazy, right?
We're
shouldn't
just
happen.
Being charged out of our ears, really.
Well, the good news is all of that's coming down. Day by day, it's getting better. And you don't have to be screwed quite as much as you used to be.
Just on that whole data thing, there's this meme that's going around. A South African footballer was awarded Man of the Match, and his prize was 5 gigs of data.
Yes, that's
5 gigs.
Yeah. Is that for real? I thought that was a joke.
No, it's actually for real. So people around the world are obviously pulling the piss because, like, in international standards, 5 gigs is like $100. But then people in South Africa are saying, "Hey, hey, hey, that's actually a fortune." So it's like this double joke coming.
It's terrible. But if that's what you get for being man of the match, 5 gigs of data.
It's embarrassing.
Absolutely embarrassing. That's embarrassing, right?
Yeah. It is.
That's like when these politicians go to this rural village and they hand out T-shirts and then those people are enthralled to them for years. Mm. How does this happen? All right, let's look at some headlines. Between Mubs and I, we're going to figure this out this morning.
Oh.
A couple of the things you need to know. Where shall we start? Do you want me to start, Mubs?
You start, Gareth.
All right. It's because you don't have anything.
No, I do. I'm happy to start. Right.
Okay. Let's see. Where do we begin? Apparently, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have been denied their first choice wedding venue.
Oh, damn it.
Wow. Oh, what is this world coming to?
What? Clutch your pearls.
Yes.
Why did the Queen say, no, Windsor's not for you?
No, you must get married somewhere else.
Yeah, apparently, there's all kinds of protocols involved when... And Sia's still waiting for his invitation. Just a hint, if anyone from Buckingham Palace is listening, Sia has been...
TikTok.
Sia has been going to the Rivonia post office every day and asking them.
I actually blame the post office. Venue, Sia.
Just that's, give them a break. They haven't got a venue yet.
It's fine, but I need to book flights and, you know, get my visa, get my outfit together, my security detail.
I'm pretty sure you can just land at their Vaticloof for this wedding. Borrow about a visa.
Excuse me, Mabale? Is there something?
Let me tell you about this. Like the common folk, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry had wedding venue drama. You know, we all have this when we're planning weddings. So don't feel bad if you're one of those people who's had this situation. Oh my God, where are we going to get married? Oh, it's booked already. Oh. So their latest news is that they ran into some trouble over the choice of wedding venue, which sounds like something every engaged friend I've ever had has complained to me about over a drink at some point in their wedding planning process. They were initially set on Frogmore House, which sounds horrible, but is actually quite nice. It's inside of Windsor Park. Ooh. So it's like the royal family's inner sanctum, because there's Windsor Castle, and then on the grounds is a place called Frogmore House, which is near where Queen Victoria is buried.
Oh, this is fancy.
It's pretty. It's a pretty place. It's got this lake in front of it, and it's sort of the royal family use that to get away from the rest of the royal family, if you know what I mean.
Does it seem massive,
so it's super, super private. Yeah, but they wanted to get married there. And
so what's happening on that day?
So the Queen really did say no, because who else is going to deny you
royal
that?
Royal aides, these are all the people who run around Buckingham Palace in jackets, they said no. Apparently they loved Frogmore, which was their cute as a couple engagement shoot where they had that. And it's a large stately home with an air of grandeur. Someone said no. Can't get married there. It's no good. They're going to have to do something else. It's all down to a size issue. Frogmore isn't big enough, so they're going to have to do it at Windsor Castle.
At
this rate, it's going to be a marquee on Hampstead Heath.
No, well, it is a royal wedding.
Here's what I love. It's like most of us for our weddings, whether you're a girl who's grown up with dreams of being married like a princess one day, or whether you're somebody who's just fallen in love and wants to have a special day, you would want to do it in a big castle. These people don't. They want to do it in a little house.
Well, they live in big castles.
Exactly, but isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
All right, so that's the first thing that you need to know this morning is because, of course, it's very important.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Well, now that we are on this wedding tip, Gareth, we'd like to give a round of applause to Australia and also to India for joining the rest of us progressive people.
Yeah.
Because the 9th of January at exactly midnight was go time for Australia's new, newly legalized same-sex marriages. And so dozens of couples across the country did exactly that in mass wedding ceremonies. They basically...
Just dozens.
Just
like hundreds, just dozens.
Just a lot of them, Ben. It was more than one dozens. Couple, okay? At exactly midnight on the 9th of January, a whole bunch of people in Australia decided to tie the knot. They have been waiting for this day for quite some time now. Legislation had passed Parliament on December the 7th, making January the 9th the first legal day for same-sex couples to take to the altar and also just, you know, subscribe to this marriage thing, which I'm sure they'll soon find out is... It's hard at times.
I knew that's where it was going.
So congratulations to
all
the
to India.
Well, to Australia. Well done to Australia. And congratulations to all the newlywed couples. And then in India, India's Supreme Court on Monday this week agreed to reconsider its 2013 decision that criminalizes consensual sexual relations between same-sex adults.
Oh, please. Isn't it about time?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We welcome Australia and India to the world of the progressive.
You know, it wasn't so long ago. It's like 15, 20 years ago that people are going, ooh, should gay people be allowed to get married?
Mm.
And in certain countries, they'll still have they'll be having those debates in 100 years' time. I've just got to point out that they're a bit behind. New York Times has canceled James Franco's panel event. Apparently, there are all kinds of allegations of, guess what, sexual misconduct.
Yes.
Against James Franco. And there was an actress called Violet Paley who has accused him of forcing her to perform oral sex on him. And that he asked one of her friends to come to a hotel he was staying at when she was 17. So they've cancelled this James Franco event that they were meant to do with him. And now even James Franco, who I thought we liked, we have to be suspicious of.
Didn't he just win an award?
And he did at the Golden Globes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Oprah kissed him and said, well done.
Well, there's a petition going around. This is another thing you need to know this morning, a petition going around. It's got close to 5,000 signatures already saying, like we expected Donald Trump to disavow the Ku Klux Klan, remember how that happened in the election run-up, they want Oprah to disavow Harvey Weinstein because they were big pals for like 20 years. They're saying, well, you know, what's good for Donald is good for Oprah. If Oprah's going to run for president, she should disavow a sex offender like Harvey Weinstein. She's never publicly done that. She didn't mention any names in her speech the other night. So people are saying they want more from her. Anyway. There's a thing called a volocopter. Have you heard about this? It's a new it's a kind of a drone. I spoke about this
volocopter.
Again, I feel like I'm trapped in the Twilight Zone. I said we need passenger drones, and everybody laughed at me. You all said, it's so unsafe, and people will die, and it's still going to be way safer than being on the roads in this country. But Volocopter, it's a company that have decided to take my idea and turn it into a business, and they'll make way more money than I ever will.
No. Okay.
They're going to launch taxis in the sky in 5 years.
In 5 years, that's just around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Then these things are going to fly around and you're going to be able to get into them and they'll take you automated flight to wherever you need to go.
So it looks like just a very tiny helicopter.
It's a helicopter that basically can accommodate one, maybe two people in it. And it's got the rotors that all drones have. And it's run from an automated control center. And they will have traffic lanes in the sky for it. Exactly what I said. Go and look at the podcast from 2014.
Okay.
I hate when I keep being pipped to the post by all these brilliant people because I don't have a factory in my backyard.
Exactly.
I don't have a factory in my backyard and $100 million to put into research and development. So what happens? All my ideas go to pot.
I'll
tell you what. Listen to the podcasts this year. Yeah. Any aspiring entrepreneurs in South Africa, just listen to everything we talk about on this show for the next 365 days. You'll find 40 ideas, just steal them from me like everyone else seems to.
Oh.
Why don't you just reach out to the Tesla guy? What's his name again?
What, Elon Musk? Oh, he's on speed dial. Yeah. Let me just let me get him because he wants to talk to me, some douchebag in South Africa.
No, I mean, you're saying that you don't have the means, so then talk to the people with the means and say, hey, listen, I've got an idea.
I spoke to a really, really rich person about this. No, I did.
Okay.
I'll tell you the date, April 2015. I said to him, let's do this. Mm-hmm. He has contacts who will finance the thing. And so I did what I could, and it just didn't go anywhere.
Just to point out, the first flight of the volocopter was 2013.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, this stuff's been around for a while.
Okay, shit. So it wasn't my idea.
Okay, well, snap. There you go.
I did say when drones came out, this is where, and I didn't know about that. So maybe it's one of those parallel things.
Can I tell you the last thing that you need to know of the five things?
Go on.
That Jeff Bezos is now the richest person of all time. of all like time? Thank you, Bill Gates. Mm. You had a good run, but
sorry,
Bezos is now the new record to beat Christmas, of all time.
Christmas shopping, kind of, I think, pushed him over the edge there.
Well, Ben, when you own 78.9% of Amazon stocks, then yes, Christmas time was an excellent time for you, wow. And that is why Amazon CEO has now been named the richest person of all time. $105.1 billion was the amount quoted by Bloomberg's billionaire tracker. Forbes have also put him as that number one person. So congratulations to Jeff Bezos. Wow.
How nice for him.
All time.
All time.
Mm. All time.
That doesn't suck at all if you're Jeff Bezos. All right, the Ethereum price for one Ether, 1,362 if you're selling this morning. $1,362, so that keeps going up and up. Bitcoin, teetering around 14,200 at the moment, so that's not so great. And just because it's a big news story this week, Ripple is down some more to 1.92.
Yeah, it was, what, 3.2 2 days ago?
Yep.
And so Run said, just get rid of that. It's,
He did. He said yesterday, get rid of it, and he was right.
It's almost like these cryptocurrencies are like bars. Everyone goes to them, they're great, and then all of a sudden they're just dingy.
They fall out of favor.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Ben's sport. You've spent 2017 paying for school fees, sports activities, new clothes, and electronics that are about to become obsolete. You've given everything to your kids in the last year. Isn't it time to get something special for yourself? Well, Menlyn Land Rover have an answer to this, and it is the new Range Rover Velar. A first of its kind, the Range Rover Velar combines elegant design, sophisticated technology, a luxurious interior, and a distinctive Range Rover all-road performance. It is everything you could desire from a modern vehicle. Be one of the first to experience the car that will take you anywhere and everywhere with consummate ease by visiting menlyn.landrover.co.za. That's menlyn.landrover.co.za. You can also give them a call on Pretoria 369-2400 to arrange a test drive. Just drive this car. I have not stopped thinking about it since I did. 012-369-2400. That's their number. Call them up today. Tell them you heard about it on cliffcentral.com. They'll treat you like royalty. They'll give you a cappuccino when you arrive. They'll put you in the car, send you on a little test drive. You'll come back feeling like you've traveled first class to, I don't know, New York or London. That's Pretoria 369-2400. Better yet, head down to their new improved Land Rover Menlyn dealership, 221 Haasmontein Road, just off the N1 highway in Menlyn. And you could say, you know what? I'm just here to check it out. There's no obligation, but you'll want it. Trust me. Here's Ben. What do you got?
I got a whole lot of cricket for you today. Kagiso Rabada is the number one ranked test bowler in the entire world.
Fantastic.
The world.
Fantastic.
He's 22 years old.
Huh.
Wow. That is quite an incredible stat, because when you saw him bowling against England, when England actually came to SA and gave us a bit of a dicking a couple of years ago, he was the shining light. He was then 20 years old. At the age of 20, he was basically shouldering all responsibility as other bowlers were just injured, fat, or useless. And he was there. He was the lone, like, the lone horse in this whole battle. Easy to see that, you know, maybe he has a good season, he might just plateau or flake out a bit. But he just keeps going. And this guy, you can just see, he's got that sort of quiet confidence about him. And he is different. He's different to other people we've had in this team. I think he's different to a lot of fast bowlers in the world. And at 22, I mean, the guy is still getting bigger and stronger. He's still getting fitter and hungrier for the match. And when you got bowlers like Vern Philander, Dale Steyn, Morne Morkel all around him, whether they're in the match team or just in the nets, whatever, just think of the wealth of expertise that he is taking on. He is the special talent in the special setup. This is quite a remarkable thing to just be experiencing right now. And obviously, I don't want to blow too much smoke up his ass, because you never know what might happen to people. Professional sport is a murky game. But just to be able to appreciate this moment right now and see this guy as number one is quite special. Also, because he has dislodged James Overratedson from the top spot.
James Overratedson?
James Anderson, basically.
I thought that was someone's real name.
Yeah. So Jimmy, he gets a lot of wickets in England with a new ball, with overhead conditions. He's not great. And he went to Australia now, and he proves it over and over again. Nothing against the guy personally. I'm sure he's average as a human. But it's just great to see this. Ravindra Jadeja, he's still in third. Basically, he only gets wickets in spinning pitches in India, along with Ravichandran Ashwin, he's fourth, and then Josh Hazlewood brings up the fifth spot.
Yes, sir.
Those are some names. Huh?
Past two people do not seem like real names.
Some names.
You know, I'm starting to get really upset about your general cultural insensitivities.
I'm so sorry.
And you just casually throw them out everywhere.
I apologize. I'll be more respectful.
And you were being such a sexist pig the other day as well.
Oh. Yeah, let's just throw this in. Yeah. This is going to be the year where we care less about whether or not you're upset by our political incorrectness. Sia's now jumped right in. Ben jumped in at the end of last year. Mubs and I, it's only a heartbeat away. So you know what? Just join in.
Bernard Philander is sixth on the list, and he said, like, obviously people calling him fat really motivated him last year. Okay, I didn't call him fat, but they were saying he was unfit. And the thing about Vern is he's always going to be an endomorph. I think that's the nice way of saying he's probably handy with a knife and fork. But when his country needs him, he steps up. And we saw it at Newlands, and we'll see it for the rest of the series as well. He did have some injury worries sort of last year, and, you know, he wasn't in India during that dreadful time in 2015 or 2014, whenever it was. But it's all looking so good. And Otis Gibson, rightly so, he wants a four-pace bowling attack. Four guys running in there, bowling the crap out of the batsman. Obviously, he's West Indian, so it's in his genetics to obviously scare the living crap out of you if you're a batsman. But that is his plan going forward. And if he can keep this team balanced around that, I think this Proteas Test team is something to really be excited about. Even if you're a neutral, it's great watching these guys. It's great watching what they can do in a test match. And that last test at Newlands, well, it really was something special. You can crap on all you want about the fact that it's the equivalent of India making a spinning pitch, how that pitch was seeming. But I think as test cricket goes, there is something in it for the viewers. And I'm not just saying it because I grew up in a place where pace bowling was important. I think in the general scheme of things, watch cricket around the world and see that kind of stuff. It's good. It's really, really good. So Saturday this week, the second test will start at Centurion. And it will no doubt have lots of fast bowlers for South Africa and lots of nervous batsmen for India. In other cricket news, Angelo Matthews, it's like a death sentence this, he's been forced to become captain of Sri Lanka again. Now Matthews is he's a decent all-rounder. He's in the twilight of his career now, but Sri Lanka just aren't producing new talent. They've had great players in the past, really amazing players. I mean, they won the World Cup back in, I think it was 96. And they've just never been able to really replace these megastars like Jaya Wardena, Sangakkara. Malinga, Muthurathiran. They have really, really great players. Angelo is now stuck with the bits and pieces, guys who probably worked in bars about 2 years ago. So he said, look, I don't want to be captain anymore. I want to focus on my batting, all that kind of stuff. And then after 6 months of this team literally going from bad to worse to Zimbabwe, they said, look, Angelo, sorry, mate, you got to take the reins again. He's like, okay, cool. So 2019 World Cup, and Angelo, with basically a dagger to his back, was going, I really am excited about building this team towards the next World Cup. So spare a thought for Angelo Matthews. It's like he wants to get out of his job, but he can't. Shame, poor dude. That
sounds horrible.
Speaking of getting out of your job, Trevor Bayliss, who is the English coach, he says, well, bugger it, I'm not keen on coaching this team past my contract. Thanks, but no thanks. I'll be gone in 2019. I'll get my coat. These guys are a bunch of losers. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing a lot here, but he doesn't seem like he feels he wants the job anymore. So, who can blame him? Do you want to coach those guys? I mean, Joe Root was pretty much the only big talent. Then he sort of got sick and then he had to go have a cry. Alistair Cookson's way out. Overrated Sin. Well, we see he's dropping down the rankings. And then Stuart Broad. He offered absolutely nothing in the Ashes, and he was meant to be their hard man. Wow. Take that, England. Some perspective for you. In the English League Cup last night, Man City, well, they beat Bristol City. Everyone knew that was going to happen in the first leg of the semi-final there. But it took an Aguero goal in the 92nd minute to make this happen. Mm-hmm. So Bristol actually were away from home. So now they get to play at home for the second leg. And they will be feeling, well, slightly confident, I reckon. So it's a great day out for the Bristol people. That'll be Tuesday the 23rd. But tonight, we'll see Chelsea versus Arsenal. Now, the big talk around Chelsea right now is the small dick-swinging contest him and Jose Mourinho are having right now, which is, well, let's just say it's pathetic. Just two guys talking crap about each other, but neither of them are like 5'10". It's just awkward. And so the big thing for Chelsea will now be on the pitch, and they'll be against Arsenal. Arsenal, of course, are out of the FA Cup. They lost to Nottingham Forest, which was just depressing and embarrassing. So that'll be tonight, 10 o'clock South African time. And then next week, those two will go at it again. This time, Arsenal will host it. and it'll be Wednesday the 24th. Last night in the Absa Premiership, well, Sundowns, they beat Ajax. Ajax had that really mad-eyed Turkish guy, Ertegal. Mm. He's back for the fourth time as their manager. Talk about an incestuous coaching pool. So for the fourth or fifth time lucky, Ertegal's back, and Ajax were a lot better. They were a hell of a lot better last night, but they still lost 2-1 to Sundowns. So now take a four-point lead in the PSL. And finally, in Korean news, South Korea, of course, are hosting the Winter Olympics next month in Pyeongchang. And North Korea, well, they are sending a team. They're sending a team, they're sending delegates, they're sending cheerleaders. They are so excited about this. So for 2 years now, North and South Korea have had no communication. They used to have this military hotline, which must have had the most awkward conversations known to man. That was cut. So now they had this little meeting yesterday. Delegation came together in the DMZ, the demilitarized zone. And they were talking about stuff like the Winter Olympics is going to be the catalyst for our, you know, ties to be renewed, and we're going to get along. And South Korea is obviously most talking while North Korea was looking at all the stuff they could steal. And then at the end of it, they said, this, maybe we should all walk out hand in hand, North and South Korea, at the opening of the games. And South Korea were like, yay. North Korea were like, yeah, we'll get back to you on that.
Oh.
They're sending cheerleaders, Mubs. How Western can you get? They're sending cheerleaders.
Is this now Kim sending cheerleaders?
Yep, North Korea are sending cheerleaders. Mostly just the only sort of good-looking girls who are nourished. They'll go there and they'll dance around a bit. But people are saying North Korea are suddenly going on this charm offensive because they're actually shitting themselves that America are going to blow them up. This is the resounding rumor around the parts that North Korea are feeling like they might actually have to be social in the world now. And Pyeongchang, so say what you want about sport, but sport makes things happen around the world. And the Winter Olympics in 2018 could see North Koreans smiling. And
that would be a change.
Kids singing and dancing.
Instead of being eaten by their parents.
Oh, bloody exciting. That is all your sport for today.
That's Wednesday. A lot. Thank you, Ben. Let's go to Sia. Said by Sia.
Ah.
What do you got?
Here's a bit of a heartwarming story. I think this is so absolutely cool. So a bookstore in Johannesburg has locked up a grandmother in one of their stores for a night. And she absolutely loved it, actually. This was something that she has wanted for the longest of time. Mrs. Karina Greiling of Kempton Park in Johannesburg, who, according to her four children, listed being locked inside a bookstore for the night as her top birthday wish.
How did she stay awake? Was she on pills or something?
Oh, listen to this. It's actually quite sweet that her children organize this for her. So Greiling turned 60 on Sunday the 7th of Jan and saw her wish granted at the Hyde Park store, where she was surprised with a pop-up bedroom, snacks and drinks, and the freedom to roam the store all night, browsing and reading to her heart's content. So it was her daughter who actually emailed the store and said, my mom is turning 60 on the 7th of Jan. When we asked her what she wants for her epic birthday, she said she just wants to be locked in a bookstore for the evening with a flask of coffee, a blanket, and unlimited access to read as many books as possible. Probably the weirdest birthday wish ever, but that's what makes her unique.
Wow.
And so the book made it possible. The CEO actually said, how could we resist obliging Mrs. Grayling's birthday wish, especially given that she and I share the same birthday? Okay, that's a bit of a publicity thing. But he continues to add, we supplied all the creature comforts necessary for spending a night in a bookshop and that her stay was everything she hoped for. So Mrs. Grayling was escorted to the bookstore by her children at around 9 p.m, unaware of the surprise that lay in wait. She was delighted by the final twist that her birthday celebration had actually taken. She was supplied with a bed, pillows, including a voucher as well for sleep consultation the next day. And the birthday grandmother also received 1,000 rands from the bookstore to spend on her favorite read. So nice. Look at her bit of her
see, this is clever.
Bucket list.
And
absolutely.
I know people get annoyed with these marketing ploys, but this is a smart one. This is really clever. And the fact that we're even talking about it now. It's great.
Says everything. But I think it's so sweet. There are pictures of this mother who's just so happy and delighted. Literally, there's this random bed that was set up in the store and she got to spend the night there. Hey, if that's what makes her heart skip a beat, then go on with for yourself, Miss Karina. And happy birthday, by the way. Turning 60. Nice. And one of the oddest...
60? 60? That's not old.
60 isn't old these days.
It is when you had your first kid at 16.
No, just because she's from Kempton Park. Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, she's got 4 children. It means she started early.
No, my mom was 56 and no she has Eastern 4 kids.
Oh, she started early too.
She started when she was 23. Anyway. I think this is so cute. It's cute that she, you know, got this opportunity. I think that's absolutely and she awesome. Loved it.
Where does she toilet, though?
They had one in the bookstore.
And I think like maybe she just used like the staff loo.
I hope so, because then that would have been everything taken care of.
Yeah. I'm Why did they mention that in the stories?
I mean, come on.
Okay.
Then because where people toilet, as you put it.
Her birthday was complete and that she had her own key to the lavatory. How hard would that have been to put into the story?
Because we focus on the fact that she had a plush bed and she had vouchers and she read the entire night like she wanted to.
But if there was a mop-up in the self-help section, okay, the first done, thing okay, in the morning. Done.
Thanks, no Ben. Bye.
If Ben were invited to Oprah's birthday banquet, his first question would be, where are the toilets?
Yes. No, it wouldn't. It'd be, where's Stedman? I'd hang out with Stedman. I'd force him to watch sport.
What's his real name, by the way? Because you don't believe Stedman is his real name.
His name's like Lewain or something.
There we go.
Deshaun.
All right. Here's a message from Dumi in Joburg. Dumi says, morning, guys. Just want to know if you could ask Run what the best choice is for an exchange right now for cryptocurrencies. I'm still waiting on Bitfinex to open their doors, but with every passing day, I feel like I'm missing out on free money. Hope you can help. Dumi. I actually had this conversation with Ryan yesterday because I'm also struggling, Dumi. He said that you've got to be careful not to go with any of the fly-by-night exchanges because then you could lose your money. And at the same time, it's very hard to get into the big-name exchanges at the moment, but they're bound to open up at some point. And if they don't, there'll be new competition and there'll be credible competition. So just hang in there. Remember, you say you're missing out on free money, but rather miss out on free money than lose what you already have by doing something stupid and disreputable. So that's the only advice that he gave me, and I suppose it would count for you. But we'll start those cryptocurrency podcasts with Run soon, and then we'll be able to give you daily updates. Touchbase Pro can help you to get the most out of your podcast listening pleasure. You can get a reminder to listen later. You can get a reminder to allow a podcast to be interrupted so that you can continue with it later on. And we will remind you to listen later as soon as you simply fill in the form, get an email. Don't delay, visit touchbasepro.com and click on book a demo. And that's if you want to use it for your own company or your own newsletter. A lot of people have blogs. A lot of people are putting together their own content online. If you have a network of people you'd like to get hold of and you'd like to give them the most useful and bespoke email correspondence possible, speak to touchbasepro.com. All right, we're going to get to some news in a minute or two and some of the big stories in South Africa and the world. They're all happening, and we want you to miss out on none of it. So that's coming up next on cliffcentral.com on a Wednesday morning. It's the 10th of January already. 10 days into the new year.
This is CliffCentral.com.